Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, starting in the 14th verse. It's on page 457 in the Pew Bible, page 457. And the message is entitled, Finding God's Word. So when you're hearing this, it's going to sound a little bit familiar to the story of Jehoshaphat, when they found the word of God. But after several generations, the word of God had been forgotten. You know how a lot of times the Bible's up there on the shelf collecting dust and never comes out until the pastor comes over, you know, then you open it up and put it on the coffee table. I've seen that done. Well, the word of God had been on the shelf for quite some time. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 33. The book of the law found during the repair of the temple. God's house, his temple, had been allowed to break down and to come into disrepair. So here we go. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and workers. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. This is King Josiah. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, Anakim, son of Shaphan, Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan, secretary, and Asaiah, the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the remnant in Israel and Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because of our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokah, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. She said to them, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all that their hands have made, my anger will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of me, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. This is important here. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and on those who live here. So they took the answer back to the king, again, King Josiah. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites, and he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. The word of God for the people of God. Here's the scriptural prayer for revival from Praying with Fire for this scripture. Let us pray. Precious Father, your word is the living word. Your word desperately needs to be rediscovered in your church. Father, I want to walk in your ways and be a person of God. Show me what that involves. Show me how to pursue you and how to separate myself from the world. Teach me the importance of seeking you, even in my youth, as Josiah did, and let me instill that to my children. Father, let me be an instrument of purging my land of false idols. Let me recognize them as they deceive and pull people away from you. Let me recognize how your church needs your purging from complacency and compromise. Purge my sin, and let me be able to say, all that was committed to me, I am doing, just as Josiah did. Enable me to set my heart to seek you. Show me how to seek you through the Bible. Cleanse me, deal with my secret sin, pet sins, and wash me completely in truth. Your word is life. Show me how I have neglected to obey it and failed to seek you through it. Teach me repentance as you did Josiah. Let me be broken over my sin and let your word move me. Teach me what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. Teach me humility, how to live humbly every day. Teach me how to maintain a tender heart toward you. Let your word become real to me and in me. O Lord, send revival. Use your word to smash any idol. Break my heart with your word. Let tears flow freely from my eyes as I humble myself before you. Father, may I daily interrupt my life to read your word. Teach me to be obedient in whatever place of responsibility you have given me. Teach me to follow your word and let me walk in covenant with you. Use your word to bring strong conviction in me and break me over my sin. Break me over the sin of my church. Use your word as a hammer to crush and to build up. Send revival, O Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Finding God's word. So I know a young man in his early 20s. He's brought up in the faith. But for all of his teen years and his college years, he has kept the Lord at a distance, not being involved in the church, not reading God's word, doing the things of the world. And I've been mentoring him for a few years now and encouraging him to read God's word. And it's kind of like, yeah, okay, Pastor. Maybe you had experiences like that, right? Well, I think it was last Sunday or Monday night, I got a text from him. He's now living in another state. And he's like, I'm starting to read the Bible. What should I do? And I was just encouraged by that. No, God's timing isn't necessarily our timing. But with the blessing of technology, I'm still going to be able to mentor this young man. So I'm thankful for that. So God is working in his heart, and his desire to read God's word is an indication that the Holy Spirit is working. And that encourages me. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, God is speaking. Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in heart and contrite in spirit. They tremble at my word. Does that standard of the Lord's esteem describe you and me? The one who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at the word of God. 2 Peter 3:3 and Jude verse 18 are identical to each other. And they say, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. Sounds a lot like today to me. In contrast, Jesus says in Luke 11, 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Who hear the word of God and obey it. And if you did your upper room devotionals this morning, the scripture used was just John 14. And Jesus adamantly says, repeats it in there, if you love me and if you love the Father, you will be obedient. They are connected. They cannot be separated. One leads to the other. Obedience leads to love. The love leads to obedience. J. Vernon McGee declares, a return to the word of God brings revival. Nothing else will bring revival. What is wrong in our day? Why don't we see revival? The reason is simple. The church has neglected the word of God. Churches have tried every known gimmick and every kind of method, and nothing happens. Revival does not come that way. Revival comes when people return to the word of God and find out what God has to say. You can't be obedient if you don't know what you're supposed to be obedient to. And God has blessed us with his revealed word. When King Josiah publicly committed before God and the people to bring his life into alignment with God's commandments and God's will, the Lord was greatly pleased. Following his leadership, the people also pledged their obedience to the covenant of God. Because of this national repentance, the Lord withheld his corrective wrath and gave them peace. But then the godly King Josiah died. And the situation would change for the worse. A few chapters later in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 5 and verse 8. Jehoiakim, one of Josiah's sons, was 25 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled in Jerusalem for 11 years. He sinned against the Lord his God. Everything that Jehoiakim did, including his disgusting practices and the evil he committed, is recorded in the history of the kings of Israel and Judah, 1 and 2 Kings. The example of King Josiah was from a positive perspective. The example of his son, King Jehoiakim, is the negative example. Both demonstrate the imperative of fearing God and obeying the Almighty Creator. Now, here's a summary of Jeremiah 36. You know, the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he was a prophet for over 40 years, and he was a prophet during King Josiah's reign and a prophet through Jehoiakim's reign. So here's Jeremiah 36. In the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was king of Judah, the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, get a scroll and write on it everything that I have told you about Israel and Judah and all the nations. write everything that I have told you from the time I first spoke to you when Josiah was king up to the present. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about all the destruction that I intend to bring on them, they will turn from their evil. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sins. So, what is God's purpose in bringing his wrath? Well, on the surface, it might seem to be punishment. But what he's saying here is his purpose is to get people to turn back to him, right? That when things get bad, they would come to the Lord. What's going on, Lord? What have we done? We know that you are in control. Lord, let me be obedient. What is it you desire of me? Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sins. So I, Jeremiah, called Baruch, son of Neriah, and dictated to him everything that the Lord had said to me. The Lord said it, and it was recorded. So what was recorded was what God said. All right? That's what the scripture says. And Baruch wrote it all down on a scroll. Then I gave Baruch the following instructions. I am no longer allowed to go in the temple. He'd been forbidden by the authorities to speak the truth of God in the holy place where it should have been encouraged. Wonder if that sounds familiar at all. But I want you to go there the next time the people are fasting. You are to read the scroll aloud so that they will hear everything that the Lord has said to me and that I have dictated to you. Do this where everyone can hear you, including the people of Judah who have come in from the towns. Perhaps they will pray to the Lord and turn from their evil ways, because the Lord has threatened this people with his terrible anger and fury. So Baruch read the Lord's words in the temple exactly as I had told him to do. In the ninth month of the fifth year that Jehoiakim was king of Judah, the people fasted to gain the Lord's favor. The fast was kept by all who lived in Jerusalem, by all who came there from the towns of Judah. Then, while all the people were listening, Baruch read from the scroll everything that I have said. Micaiah heard Baruch read from the scroll what the Lord had said. Then he went to the royal palace, to the room of the court secretary, where all the officials were in session. Micaiah told them everything that he had heard Baruch read to the people. Then the officials sent to Jehudi to tell Baruch to bring that scroll that he had read to the people. Baruch brought them the scroll. Sit down, they said, and read the scroll to us. So Baruch did. After he read it, they turned to one another in alarm. And they said to Baruch, we must report this to the king. Then they asked him, tell us now, how did you come to write all this? Did Jeremiah dictate it to you? Baruch answered, Jeremiah dictated every word of it to me, and I wrote it down in ink on this scroll. Then they said to him, you and Jeremiah must go and hide. Don't let anyone know where you are. They feared for their lives. The officials put the scroll in the room of Elishama, the court secretary, and went to the king's court, where they reported everything to the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll. This is King Jehoiakim, remember. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll. He took it from the room of Elishama and read it to the king and all the officials who were standing around him. It was winter, and the king was sitting in his winter palace in front of the fire. As soon as Jehudi finished reading three or four columns, the king cut them off with a small knife and threw them into the fire. He kept doing this until the entire scroll was burnt up. But neither the king nor any of his officials who heard all this was afraid or showed any sign of sorrow. Although Elnathan, and Delaliah and Gemariah begged the king not to burn the scroll. He paid no attention to them. So we're going to do a little reenactment here. I have a fire marshal. I've checked the fire extinguisher here. It is still in the green. You are trained in how to use the fire. Very well trained. I say you must be. So we're going to do this to make an impact, right? To make a statement and also to relate it to what's happening today. Maybe a good place to start this exercise would be in Exodus 20, you know, the Ten Commandments, right? And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is on in the heaven or earth, beneath the earth or in the sky. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. Honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't steal, don't lie, bear false witness, do not covet. This is definitely got to go, right? We can't have all those rules. Okay, what's another one we need to get rid of? How about John 3:3? Okay. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah, we don't want that one. Let's get rid of that. So that born again stuff, that's just for radicals, fanatics, right? Okay, how about Paul in Romans? There's a lot of stuff in there, right? Maybe having all that. Romans 3:23. Oh, yeah, this has definitely got to go. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, we don't even believe in sin, right? That's old fashioned, so we can't have that. Okay, how about a couple chapters later, 6:23. For the wages of sin is? Yeah, we don't want that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, only Jesus? Yeah, only Jesus. That one's got to go. Can't have that, right? Well, we're covering the whole Bible here. So let's go to Revelation here towards the end. Revelation 22, this is almost at the end. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the book the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Well, that we probably should have started with this one, right? Definitely got to get rid of that. I mean, we're made in God's image. We should be able to add and subtract from his word, right? Let's return to Jeremiah's account of King Jehoiakim's actions. Then King Jehoiakim ordered Prince Jeremiah, together with Seraiah and Shelemiah, to arrest me and my secretary Baruch, but the Lord had hidden us. After Jehoiakim had burnt the scroll that I had dictated to Baruch, the Lord told me, take another scroll and write on it everything that has been on the first one. The Lord told me to say to the king, you have burnt the scroll, and you have asked Jeremiah why he wrote that the king of Babylonia would come and destroy the land and kill his people and his animals. So now I, the Lord, say to you, King Jehoiakim, that no descendant of yours will ever rule over David's kingdom. Your corpse will be thrown out where it will be exposed to the sun during the day and the frost at night. I will punish you, your descendants, and your officials because of the sins all of you commit. Neither you nor the people of Jerusalem and of Judah have paid any attention to my warnings. And so I will bring on all of you the disaster I have threatened. Then I, Jeremiah, took another scroll and gave it to my secretary, Baruch. And he wrote down everything that I dictated. He wrote everything that had been on the first scroll and similar messages that I dictated to him. Now, we learned from this that God's word cannot be destroyed. So, knowing that, what recourse does the devil and his demons have? Well, let us open our Bible to Satan's first appearance in Scripture, Genesis 3:1, very early. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? That is the strategy of the enemy in our day, to cast doubt, to categorize the Bible as just another holy book like any other, to suggest that the authors are only men. Detractors say things like, everyone knows that there are contradictions and errors of fact in history. Also, like Satan, they misquote the scripture. We see this in this account where he misquotes God's direction. You must not eat from any tree. No, that's not what God said, right? This is a trick. He is the deceiver. And we also see that how he misused God's word in the temptation of Jesus. If you want to go back and read that after Jesus' baptism, when he was driven into the wilderness. Another strategy is to classify all the commands as cultural and therefore relative. Times are different today. We are a lot smarter. We are more scientific. Human knowledge has advanced beyond the limitations of our ignorant forefathers. The Bible is only descriptive, not prescriptive. Surely it doesn't apply in our context. No, it does apply. Now, it's helpful to know that Jehoiakim was installed as king by Egyptian conquerors. He replaced his brother, who had only been king for 3 months, when the Egyptian king came in and took over. And remember that Egypt was a nation of many little g gods, and they were idolaters. In the Exodus story, the stiff-necked people of Israel wanted to return to Egypt. Remember that? At least we'd be eating there, they said. It seems it was part of their DNA. It seems that it's part of this human DNA to always drift away from God and start making idols. It seems that sin has its own gene. What is the final result of burning God's word? Judah, Jerusalem, and Jehoiakim were conquered by Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian army, instruments of God's wrath. Jehoiakim was carried off into exile in chains. Now let me quote Satan again in his retort to Eve. You will not surely die. These are the words of a liar and a deceiver and a murderer from the beginning. Again, Vernon McGee. My friends, let's be very candid and very matter of fact and very direct. I believe we could have revival today, but first there must be a return to the Word of God to find out what God wants us to do. Then I believe there will be, and there must be, a total commitment to God on the part of God's people. There can be none of this half-hearted service which we see. There can be none of this business of trying to go with the world and trying to go with God. It is impossible to do both. They are divergent roads. There must be a clear-cut destination of heart and life to God. When that takes place, the Spirit of God is free to move. Now, you may remember that in May of 2018, my biological father died, and I went up there and I met a young woman that had provided a lot of the care for him over the years, and certainly in his end days as he died of colon cancer. And she did not know the Lord, but through interaction with her and her interaction with my son, Don, she came to make Jesus her Lord and Savior. So she Facebook messaged me this week with questions about the Bible, some hard questions, good questions. And I told her they were good questions. And I took the time to answer them very thoroughly. God is working in her life as she's going through some trials. And she's looking for guidance and looking for truth. And knows that God speaks in God's word. Now, these two historical stories that we have read today, and I took the time to give these long stories to you because there's much truth in them, right? Much more than I brought out. But if you examine them for yourselves, you can see how applicable they are. And they show us a continuing cycle of repentance and revival followed by longer periods of godless living. Which portion of this cycle do you think we are in right now? And what are you going to do about it? Well, for starters, I would ask you to take your bulletin home and work through your reflection questions. Again, these are from the book, Praying with Fire, Praying with the Spirit. All right. Let's go to God in prayer. Most good and glorious Father, we know it is the desire of your heart that your children would come to you, that in your perfect holiness, your perfect justice, you call us to be obedient. And we also know, Lord, that because none of us can keep the law in its completion, in fact, we can't keep any portion of it, Lord, we know that we needed a Savior. And that's why your word speaks so much about sin, because if we don't know how we fall short of your desires, of your guidance, we don't know that we need the doctor, we would not seek Jesus. So we thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your only begotten Son. And we know, Lord, that your warnings and your punishment are not from some dark side of your personality, but is for your desire for your children to come back to you. Lord, we know that you are holy, 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 and loving and just. So I pray for God the Holy Spirit to move upon our hearts, to move in the hearts of those that we come in contact with, and give us the opportunity to grow in your word, to share what you teach. We know that your will cannot be thwarted. And we've read the end of our Bibles and know that you are victorious. Lord, we ask that you use us. We ask that this place, this church, this body of Christ would manifest your presence in a powerful way. That in our living, we would honor and glorify you. And others in seeing that would know that we are salt and light, as Jesus calls us to be. It's in his name that I pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.